It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple announces second quarter earnings. Widgets may be coming to your Apple Watch with WatchOS 10 update. Download one of Tim Cook's watch faces, and a new Steve Jobs book arrives in hardback for a select few. Plus reviews of Apple's new HomePod and two-factor authentication. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 440, recorded Friday, May 5th, 2023. Super Siri.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, happy Revenge of the Fifth Day.
I was going to say, may the fifth be with you, but I'm off by a day. We were going to record yesterday. That would have been funny, but no. But it is something, isn't it? Cinco de Mayo.
Right? It is also Cinco de Mayo, yes.
Yes, okay. Revenge of the Fifth. All right. Mm-hmm. These special 2 days here in May. And what's funny is I actually went to see a Marvel movie last night, not Star Wars.
Oh, how funny. Yes.
Yeah. We did have some scheduling issues this week, so Chris is not able to join us. But for a while there, I thought, as we tried to schedule, we were supposed to record like much earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. I thought I could blame this delay on the writer's strike. Right? But then I realized that any writing is done by me and I'd have to cross my own picket line. So, here we are. The show goes on.
As long as AI hasn't taken over your job yet.
How do you know? How do you know this is not AI?
This is true.
I still say one day I'm going to put together a show through AI. We'll just have it listen to every show we've done. We're on episode 440 now. Mm-hmm. And have it and just see what it does.
Totally can. It'll simulate all our voices and that's it.
And say the same thing over and over that we say all the time. Mm-hmm. That should be pretty funny. But there is lots of interesting news to talk about. For the first time in a while, I'm actually getting excited for what's coming up from Apple here in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Very optimistic. You call that bullish? Is that right?
Bullish, indeed.
Yeah, hopefully, bullish on Apple.
Yeah, where Apple goes, the stock market goes.
That too. That always happens. Mm-hmm. Just everything in general, I'm getting a really good vibe about what's going on. You know, it's cool stuff. Because it's kind of been the same old, quite a while. I guess we're going to have that until June. Then we'll have something more to talk about. But let's go ahead and dive into what did happen this past couple of weeks. First of all, the most recent thing, Apple did announce its earnings yesterday. Yep. And apparently iPhone sales helped them go beyond Wall Street expectations. Hmm. Because the word on the street was... not going to do so well this quarter. Mm-hmm. Apple had mentioned that, and analysts had mentioned that. Everybody was ready for that. But the numbers, while not spectacular for what they thought it would be, you know, initially should be for Apple with its track record, was still very good. So they brought in, this is really horrible, only $94.8 billion in revenue in a quarter. Which is down from $97.23 billion. So the difference there is what? Hardly anything. Nothing much.
Yeah, what's a few million between friends?
it's a rounding error for them at this point, right? I think Wall Street had put them at 92.9. And they came in at 94.8. So that's good. That was always good news. So what happened here? The iPhone brought in 51.3 in revenue, up from 50.6 in Q2. So the phone was actually up, which they thought would be down. Now, the Mac revenue did go down, $10.4 billion down, I'm sorry, down from 10.4 to 7.2. Yeah. That's quite a drop.
That is pretty significant, yes.
But Crystal wasn't a whole lot new, right? Didn't we kind of skip the whole holiday season with new computers at the end of the year?
For Macs, yeah.
Yeah, they had some stuff recently, but they were kind of missing in action there. Mm-hmm. The iPad saw year-on-year increase from 7.6. I'm sorry, decrease, 7.6 yeah. billion to 6.7. Services still is continuing to grow, mm-hmm. 20.9 billion up from 19.8. Wearables, okay, which is the Apple Watch and home and other accessories, slightly down from 8.8 to 8.76. Again, what's 0.04 billion between friends? Mm-hmm. Not much. So overall, pretty good for Apple. They've weathered the storm so far as one of the few tech companies not to do major layoffs, mainly because they didn't hire like crazy when the other ones did. So they're doing pretty good. And that's, again, I guess part of the reason I'm feeling kind of bullish about them is they got a bright future here.
They also raised the services prices, right, this last quarter?
They did, slightly, yeah. didn't
so
they?
So that was a bump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. That'll help, I guess, when you multiply it by how many they have, which mm-hmm. is kind of the next thing I wanted to talk about, is during this call, they mentioned that they're approaching 1 billion paid subscriptions.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So a slight bump in price on some of that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
They now have 975 million subscriptions, up from 935 from February. So it's continuing to grow quite steadily. Now that is at the App Store, Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, iCloud, and other things. So the question still is, and I don't think we ever have an answer for this, how they calculate it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a family account and you have five people on it, is it everybody?
I think so. I would.
And is it every service if you have a subscription, one subscription, or is it just one subscription?
I think it's revenue divided by total number of user accounts.
Okay, user accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the numbers of people actually using this is larger, right? Is over 1 billion then, right?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, with all the family stuff. And it makes sense. I mean, all of this, all the hardware, the Macs are a lot more robust. They last a little longer. iPad's the same thing. And then you have, on top of that, you can use these services with the older devices, which extends their life, which is like, kind of a, like you said, like there's a dedicated iPad for just music or whatever that might be, you know?
So, right. You end up, it's because these devices are so well made.
Mm-hmm.
It is the software that outdates them, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how slow it is. At one time, it was the fastest device you ever owned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But as the software gets more complicated and does more things and puts more taxes, the device more and more seems much more slower.
Right.
Then you it's because you spent so much money on it.
Yeah.
Even though you got a lot of use out of it, and it is that well physically built, you tend to not want to let it go,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Find another use for it.
Right. Yeah. I like the phone. I mean, you have a new generation of folks that are owning phones every year, or every quarter, I guess, at this point. And it's a great thing to have because you kind of need it nowadays.
Yeah. It's the cycle too, right? It's how often do you replace those devices, right? And what's the phone, every 2 years, 3 years? I don't know what it is these days.
Yeah, well, for us, it's every year.
Well, we're different.
Yeah.
You can't count us. We're not the norm here. For most people, it's going to last a good 3-4 years probably.
Yeah.
Before they start to see a need to do that. Okay, what else is going on? The very long Apple versus Massimo court battle has ended in a mistrial. And according to the jury, it's 6-1 in favor of Apple.
Mm.
So after 6 of the jurors found that Apple had not stolen trade secrets to create the O2 sensor in the Apple Watch, But the seventh juror disagreed, which resulted in the mistrial. And they apparently told the judge, look, there's no way we're going to reach a consensus here. So this started all the way back in 2013 when Apple contacted that company, Massimo, said they were interested in a working relationship with the company. In other meetings, their pulse oximeter technology was discussed, and Apple is said to have then begun poaching their staff. In 2020, Massimo filed a lawsuit accusing Apple of stealing these trade secrets, infringing 10 of their patents, including the O2 sensor and the Apple Watch. It escalated later that year when the Apple Watch Series 6 was launched with the new blood oxygen detection feature. They tried to get a U.S. International Trade Commission to ban the import of new Apple Watches. That attempt failed. But earlier, a court ruled that Apple had indeed infringed on one of the 10 patents, and they're trying to have that decision overturned. Final ruling will be next month. So the question is, and now Massimo has said they were disappointed by the result. Despite Apple coming close to winning, they intend to file for a retrial.
And this is, well, I'm getting all these lawsuits confused here.
Yes.
So this is not the ACOR one. That's the ECG one. Correct. And then you have this one, which is the O2 sensor.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Live core. These days, whenever someone comes up with a new technology and puts it in a very popular device, they're going to get sued by someone. Sure. There's just no way around it. Unless they've reached previous deals with certain people. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It sounds to me, first of all, I don't believe they should try to retry this. I mean, it's obviously not going in their favor. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of a waste of time and money, but that's up to them. I think when you read all this, I'm trying to read between the lines, it's like, what you're hearing is probably not the whole truth on either side. Mm. So what I see is they tried to get to buy this company or to get them to work with them. And for whatever reason, they couldn't. Right. So they said, okay, we'll do it ourselves. So what would you do if you wanted to create a new tech? You'd start to try to get the best people in the field who happen to be working for that company and hire them and build it yourself. And I think that's what they did. So they're not technically violating a patent, right? They did come up with it on their own. They just did it with the same people, I think.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's my
Yeah, thought. That's what the comments are saying. I mean, it's kind of like hiring someone to be a part of the dev team isn't technically stealing.
Right, exactly. It's like, okay, you're not going to play ball. We'll do it ourselves. We'll build our own stadium, you know?
Yeah.
Play our own game. So I don't know. I mean, as a user, I'm glad they came up with this and made it available to a lot of people, but you wish they could have worked it out.
Yeah. Could have been some licensing agreement or something involved, but nope.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. I guess the lesson learned here is that Apple comes to you with an idea. you want to be a part of it. You're probably a good idea to just give in to the Borg.
It is kind of like that, isn't it? Resistance is futile.
It's like, maybe you would. Who knows?
But, I mean, think about, other things that Apple has bought and folded into their deal, like Dark Sky. Sure. Bought them completely. They could have come up with their own. Yeah. They could have hired people from the company, but they did work out a deal. Now, unfortunately, at least in my opinion, they didn't do such a good job with it. They kind of should have left it on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you noticed it's not as accurate?
It's not. Yeah.
I don't. Why? How would it change?
I don't know. It's kind of thrown me off. I put a sweater on once and it was warm outside, so.
Well, with me, it's the rain. Sometimes it's spot on, and other times I'm like, it didn't rain at all. What do you mean? Rain started in 20 minutes. I got nothing. You know, but it used to be more accurate. Maybe that's just my perception of it at the time because it was new. But
yeah, I was wondering whether or not it's just different sources of data that they're trying to blend together and they change something.
Could be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could be that.
Maybe their phones are so waterproof they can't tell if it's raining or not.
And your watch. And your watch. And your watch. Yep. Okay, now for the bigger, what I thought would be the biggest story of the week here. And this is coming, I think we kind of touched on this, but there's a little more detail, is about the new upgrade coming to watchOS 10 later this year. And this comes from Mark Gurman, Bloomberg, has a lot of detail here. He kind of first broke the story, but now he's saying that Apple is going to upgrade its watchOS with new focus on widgets.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those widgets? That will be a part of this big overhaul in the way you use your watch. As what he's stating is the biggest software update since the original. Now, as we all remember, gosh, is it going on almost nine years ago, when the Apple Watch was first launched in 2015, it had four main things on it. You had the watch faces. You had a widgets interface called Glances. Remember that?
Glances.
You had the home screen filled with app icons, and you had an area to access frequent contacts. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, Apple changed as they got more feedback on how people are using the watch. They got rid of widgets and the frequent contacts in favor of highlighting notifications and multitasking capabilities. Throughout all those changes, though, the apps remained core to the Apple Watch.
Sure.
to so much so that we had a segment of our show called App or Crap, because there were so many apps, you never knew what was real and what wasn't. That's completely changed now. We no longer do that thing. We do it every now and then for nostalgia, but it's hard to do now because there's not that many apps for the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
People developing like they used to. So now the focus is shifted. So what Gurman is saying is that part of watchOS 10, they're planning to bring back widgets and make them a central part of the interface. We're going to see this in at WWDC here in about a month. Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly a month, right? June 5th, 1 month from today. Alongside iOS 17, macOS 14, the mixed reality headset, which will be the big deal, and there may be a laptop or two announced. So the new widgets will be a combination of the old glances and the widgets that were introduced on the iPhone back in iOS 14. So the plan is to let users scroll through a series of different widgets for activity tracking, weather, stocks, calendar appointments, and more, rather than you having to launch an app. Very similar to the Siri watch face.
Yep. That's it.
Do you still use that face, by the way?
All the time, actually. It's very convenient considering it's, like location and time aware. Yeah.
Right.
So that's,
right.
I mean, they're spot on. I mean, it's about the snippet of insight and information that you're looking for that comes from that particular app at that particular time. And so that definitely helps with extends the kind of the notification experience. I mean, I think that's it's a watch, which makes sense that it's about the temporalness of that particular notification or piece of information that you need at that time.
Right, but this would be more powerful, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're saying, the Siri watch face, which was introduced in watchOS 4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Will be available as an overlay for any watch face, which makes it even more powerful, mm-hmm. right? It's also similar to widget stacks. So that's in iOS and iPadOS that you can pile a bunch of different widgets into one and scroll through them. Similar. So it seems to me there's going to be a lot more information available literally at your fingertip on the watch. So is this a super Siri? Is that what this is? It's an app. No, it's a widget. No, it's Super Siri. Okay.
I can only hope. I mean, if they can actually make Siri, like Siri and ChatGPT need to get together.
Maybe. There you go.
You know, something.
So they're also, as a part of this, this is going to screw everybody up, particularly me. They're going to start changing the functions of some of the buttons, too, on the watch.
Oh.
Like right now, you press the digital crown, you go to the home screen. Mm-hmm. But that may actually open up widgets instead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay, then how do I get to the home screen right away? Okay. There's going to be a lot to learn if they when they go through with this. So we'll have to see. And he does mention in this article that the shift may be jarring for longtime Apple Watch users. Mm-hmm. So they said they wouldn't be surprised if they consider making the new interface optional, at least at first.
Interesting. I think it's...
That would be interesting.
It is cohesive. I think that when Glass comes out, it's going to be communicating through widgets. It's not going to be through this full-on app kind of experience, I think.
Right. Right. So excited to see what this is going to be for the watch because it is getting a little long in the tooth here for what we do with them, you know, how you interact with it. If they can make that experience better in any way, I think that's a positive.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
Interesting thing is it hasn't leaked yet. That's good for whomever's holding on to that.
Oh, we still got a month. We still got a month. So, knock on wood. People have done mock-ups of it.
Yes, they have done mock-ups. But,
and we talked about that on the show, but nobody's completely leaked it yet. I think in part because they're so busy trying to find leaks on the headset.
Yeah.
This is like an afterthought, right? The Watch OS, okay. It's an update.
Yeah, well, yeah. The watch is going to control that thing is what it's going to do.
could be. That would be interesting. And a couple of other things going on with, this is also from Gurman here, is that Apple is looking to further lock users into their ecosystem with new health initiatives, including an AI coach.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a paid offering. You'd have to pay for it. Planned for next year. The code name is Quartz. And will essentially be a trainer built into your iPhone and Apple Watch. And it will use AI and data from your devices to build personalized wellness plans. I love the idea of this. Not sure how the implementation of it yet. But the idea is solid. We need something like that. If you look at Apple Fitness right now, it's wonderful in the variety of what it offers, but it gives you zero information as to how to get started and personalize it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your own, pretty much. This would be an interesting thing to do.
Hmm. Do you think they're going to change the rings? Such a unique aspect of the whole experience.
Well, it could be. Let me mention this next part and we'll talk about it. But the other thing is that the iPad will be like a larger version of the iPhone one. So it's the health app's coming to the iPad, right? So it's designed to make the app more popular in healthcare settings because you use the iPad a lot. A lot of people use it when they're working out or doing whatever, right? So, and again, after many years of development, Apple is getting into mood and emotion tracking, aiming to put people in better touch with how they feel on a daily basis. Therefore, you can look forward to a mood ring on your Apple Watch. This is too cool. It's going to happen, right? That'd be too cool if they did that. They won't. You know, if they're tracking your emotion anyway, shouldn't it be a ring?
Something like that, yeah. Either that or just a color change on the face. It's like,
okay.
It looks like your watch face is red. I'm going to talk to you later.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to leave you alone for now. Now, again, this is information you probably want to going to keep private, right? Yeah. Hidden, not put out there on the face of the watch. But it's pretty funny if they can track mood and they have rings that someone's going to do a mood. Someone's going to do a mood ring. I know that.
That'd be interesting.
That'd be an app or crap. It probably has been an app or crap in the past. So anyway, cool, exciting stuff coming up next month. So we only have another month to speculate before we know what's going on. Speaking of speculation, here's another rumor that could make things interesting for the watch, that future updates to the Apple Watch to enable pairing with multiple Apple devices rather than just one phone. Okay, so this is information that's, again, being leaked. Mm-hmm. Not sure if it's real or not. Once an Apple Watch is paired to an iPhone, it can be used, it can work with an iPad logged into the same Apple ID to follow Apple Fitness, workout routines. Also, Mac, if you're a Mac user, you can use the Apple Watch to unlock your computer, authenticate apps, view passwords, make Apple Pay payments, Apple Pay payments. But that's about it. So what they're talking about is to change the pairing and syncing process so that the Apple Watch will no longer just be tied to a single phone, but will instead be able to sync across multiple iPhones, iPads, and Macs. Mm. So that would be kind of like an iCloud syncing possibility.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Which worries me a little bit because I have issues with iCloud syncing sometimes.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm not sure how good that will be. But they say it's very similar to how AirPods work right now across devices.
Oh, okay. It's the senses, what's nearby. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That took a while to straighten out. That was always kind of weird. But yeah.
What?
The switching devices. Yeah.
It still does. You're talking about your AirPods?
Yeah.
Weird. It does weird things because, the other day I was outside listening to a podcast. Okay. I was mowing my lawn and I got in the front of the house. When I got near the other side of the house upstairs, I have a speaker, a Bluetooth speaker that I connect to sometimes that I had forgotten to turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And my podcast just cut out.
Oh, yeah.
I got too close to it, even though I was outside downstairs. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back in my phone and look at it, and it was playing on that speaker in the house. And I had to jump back to my AirPods, and it did it like three more times. So I'm like, it's smart, but it's not smart. Anyway. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be closer in order for it to jump like that, but that was quite a distance.
Yeah, for a watch. Wow. Yeah, I've had it happen with between my cars and my wife's following me. My music will jump over her car. That happens sometimes.
Oh, wow. That's funny. So you quick change the music?
Exactly.
Play something else? That's funny. Yeah. Think about that. Or have you ever had just the music start playing and you don't know where the hell it's coming from?
All the time.
Yeah. I put on my AirPods and I'll press the crown button to continue what I was listening to on my phone, and my HomePod starts blasting music. Oh. I'm like, okay, I wasn't even listening to music. Where's that coming from? What device, and why did the crown on the AirPods Max create the HomePod to start playing? It's just weird.
Well, we'll see. So, you wouldn't have.
So we have that.
Your watch is going to be all over the place.
Oh my goodness!
So let me get this straight, though. That when you pair the watch, like you buy a brand new watch, do you still have to have a phone then, or like can you?
It's not clear.
Yes. Okay.
Know.
It might be.
Don't know.
Start with a phone, but then you can pair with other devices. Not necessarily.
It could be that, because if it isn't, if it's like, okay, I don't have an iPhone, but I have an iPad, right. I can't get a watch.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is possible, then I could get a watch.
Right.
And pair it with my iPad to set it up.
On that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything just syncs through the cloud, so through iCloud. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then isn't the next step opening it up to like Android and everybody else?
Oh, I'm sure they've done that.
Every other phone? They haven't done that yet, but it could happen.
Yeah, you just have to sync to an iCloud app or an account. And that's where it is.
Yep. Right. So being able to sync your watch or set up your watch on a different Apple device could be a way of Apple, you know, looking at the market and saying, mm-hmm. there's a whole area of people we're not addressing.
For sure.
For the watch that we can get. But I still say it's the next step to, just like they did with iTunes, opening it up to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would, gosh, the sales of the watch would be insane.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of a, you can't buy an Apple Watch for somebody who has an Android phone today, you know, so, yeah.
Right, right. And if that happens, I'm sorry, we can't tech support anything anymore because I don't have any of those devices. I couldn't do it, right? I have no idea how that would work on an Android.
Yeah. Well, the first key to not doing tech support is to get it wrong the first time.
Oh, is that it?
Oh, okay. I completely screwed that up, so don't call me again. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. yeah, the advice is exactly worth what you pay for. Okay. Speaking of Apple Watch users, there was a survey done by Counterpoint Research. Mm-hmm. Okay. That says that the Apple Watch users are highly loyal and ready to spend over $500 on their next upgrade. Did you need research to tell you that? Anyway, they're saying that the Apple has the highest stickiness for any smartwatch brand. Is your watch sticky? Mine's not.
Sometimes. Depends Sometimes. On the
brand. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it turns on the band, not the brand, right?
Yeah, funny.
I said band. I said brand, not band.
Okay, okay.
If you have a sticky band, you either wash it or replace it. So the report says that almost 80% of iPhone owners who use a smartwatch use an Apple Watch. Okay, mm-hmm. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's higher than the Android user loyalty to the Pixel Watch, which 71% of Android users own a smartwatch owning a Pixel Watch. Additionally, 40% of Samsung smartphone users own a smartwatch use a Samsung Galaxy Watch. So Apple at 80%, Android 71%, Samsung at 40%.
Yeah,
that sounds right to me.
It's the combination, the parts of the sum of the parts, all of it together. Yeah,
right. Yeah, in fact, the report goes on to say that of the top smartwatch features, according to owners, are health and activity tracking, right? Notification access, and messaging and calling.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Older smartwatch owners, I'm not sure who that means, rely more heavily on health features, while younger users favor notification and messaging. For Apple, these features lead to more than 70% of users being very satisfied with their Apple Watch. 82% indicated that they wear their Apple Watch every day.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the percentage who wear them every night as well. That would be an interesting number. Let's see. What else here? They revealed that 59% of respondents had purchased their smartwatch within the last year, while 50% also said they plan to purchase a new model within the next year. And 16% said they plan to upgrade in the next 2 years. This points to a holding period of just over 2 years for most users, which is what we were just talking about with how long you keep a device. For the watch, it looks like 2 years
at least. That's me.
Or about. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, it's usually every other model. 77% stated that they are planning to buy an Apple Watch as their next smartwatch. The share of respondents willing to pay $500 or more for the next smartwatch was double the share of those who stated they spent $500 or more on their current smartwatch. What? Double the share who spent. Okay. What does that mean? More people are willing or not?
That's confusing. ChatGPT with that.
Yeah. Did ChatGPT write this article? I think so. So anyway, interesting stats. I don't know what it means. I don't know how big the pool of respondents was or whatever. It kind of confirms what we already knew, I think, to the most part. This would be so terrible if this happened to you, but U.S. officials have seized a shipment of over 1,000 pairs of fake AirPods and Apple Watch Ultra knockoffs. Where are they going? Can you imagine Virginia?
Yeah, but where in Virginia?
From China? I don't know.
To another shop or a store somewhere?
But can you imagine how horrible it'd be to buy one of these things?
Yeah, you can't register the AppleCare, right? And that's when it, you know, right?
Actually, what Apple has done, because this has been a major problem for a number of years for AirPod Pro especially, a new system in iOS 16 last year warns the user when they attempt to pair counterfeit AirPods with their phone or iPad. It tells you. Although some manufacturers of fake AirPods have already found a way to get around that. Of course they have. But 1,000 fake pairs of AirPods Pro and 50 fake Apple Watch Ultra devices. Now, there's a photo here, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this. Anybody wants to see it? You know how they do the photo of the when they seize drugs and money in front of their logo and all that? And there's an image like that of all these AirPods and the Ultras. I'm looking at the packaging on the Ultra. It doesn't look very tight.
It's a little beat up.
It's a little beat up. It's a little loose. It's not as precise as it should be. That's the first sign that you have.
Yeah, the shrink wrap is there's no shrink wrap. What is it called? The shrink wrap? I'm trying to remember the shrink wrap. Yeah.
Doesn't look like it. There's a whole bit there we could do, you know, top 10 signs you have a fake Apple Ultra watch. I'd be right. Yeah, you could do David Letterman on that one. Anyway, they did seize a bunch of it coming in, and it was headed to Virginia from China.
Right. There was a story a while ago about from Reddit where someone did try to register. They bought these AirPods from Costco, and when they tried to register it, it said that this was not a legitimate AirPods. So they were like, "What? Ooh. It's from Costco." So I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm like. I maybe someone tried to return those and they returned the fake ones. Who knows? Could be.
Or Costco's buying stuff out of a truck in the back.
No, that's not like, how are these getting mixed into the, you know, the general real ones, you know?
Well, apparently it's a big problem. What did they say in this article that it cost Apple? There was a number. They estimated in 2021. A report, fake AirPods cost Apple about $3.2 billion.
That would have made up the deficit.
Yes, it would have. They're taking this seriously, as they should. So beware. If it doesn't look nice and sharp and clean, if you can't cut yourself on the corner of the box, it's probably not an Apple box.
Yep.
What else here? Kind of disappointed to hear this. Apple apparently has delayed the next generation Apple Watch screen technology to 2025 or later. We're talking about switching from OLED to micro LED, and apparently it's not happening. It was supposed to be on track next year. Doesn't look like that's going to happen, according to an analyst here. Delayed to the second half of 2025 at the earliest. So that tells me they're having some production issues. They're
expensive, too. Yeah.
They are. Maybe that's part of it, too. But they're so much better.
Oh, right? Yeah. I would imagine. Yeah.
If you can get them to work.
And the sizes and shapes are, you know, very flexible.
More power efficient than OLED. Which is very important for like the watch, less susceptible to burn in and much brighter, vibrant colors, seen better at an angle, everything you want for a watch, this technology offers it. So, that's disappointing to hear that that's been pushed back, but we'll see. All right. Speaking of chat, GPT, that app Petey that we reviewed a while back and talked about, did make it to the iPhone. They now have an iPhone version of it. And the iPhone version has now added Apple Music integration and the GPT-4 support, the upgrade, which the watch already had. Now the iPhone version has it, but the big difference here is adding Apple Music integration. So it can now create playlists, add songs based on your tastes. So it's kind of an alternative to what Apple Music already does. I wonder if it'd be any better.
Maybe. You're giving it a lot of data to do that. Yeah.
Interesting. I should probably ask each one to create a playlist based on some parameters and see which one does better, right?
Yeah. I think Apple's is not all that great.
It's not. I can't tell you how many times I yell at the HomePod next. I mean, I'm like, where did that come from? That has nothing to do with my favorites. That's number one. Number two, I don't think that song's even from the decade I'm supposed to be playing here. I don't know. I don't know how it's done, but could be interesting. Who owns ChatGPT, by the way? Is that Microsoft?
Or
is
it's still OpenAI, but I think Microsoft is probably a majority shareholder after putting in $10 billion. Yeah.
So not something Apple could buy.
No, not yet.
Yeah, okay. All right. Jeez. That's too bad. They may have to develop their own. We talked last show about the Apple Savings account that was launched. You took advantage of it, right? Yeah, I've done it as well. I haven't added more to it other than my Apple Cash at the moment, but I kind of want to now. Anyway, since it was launched on April 17th, they say that it has seen a $990 million in deposits in the first 4 days. So, almost a billion
dollars. When I read that, I thought, you know, that was a lot of, you know, cash back. It's deposits, actual deposits. Yeah.
It's deposits. People are dumping money into this thing as well because of the great rate and the ease of use because it's part of the Apple Card. Now, it's not been confirmed in the number by Apple or Goldman Sachs, but we kind of know what that is. They're saying in the first day alone, there was $400 million put in.
Wow.
By the end of the week, approximately 240,000 accounts had been opened.
And it was super easy, super easy to create the account.
That's what I love about it. Everything about using the Apple Card is easy to do. And for the first time, I feel like it's a bank, if you will, put that in quotes, that isn't trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right? I mean, there is no fees, no minimum balance. And at least with using the card for credit, it actually helps and assists you in paying it off by giving you visually, you know, information that, sorry, my Visa or whatever is never going to give me that info. They want me to keep a balance in there as long as possible, right? So to me, it's always been different. And this just adds to that, the whole savings side of it. So again, you can put in, cannot exceed $250,000 because that's the FDIC insurance limit. But everything else about it is very competitive. There are slightly higher rates out there, but not combined with its ease of use.
Yeah.
And that is
Apple has just different incentives for, you know, storing your money. They don't make money off of the interest and everything else. Yeah.
And I'll ask the question again. Will we see a day when Apple will have a physical store bank?
Oh, you mean like walking up to the Genius
walk
bar?
Into?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The
I think it'd be or whatever. Goldman Sachs branded with an Apple bench in it. Who knows?
Nah, I want like a whole store that's just looks unlike any other bank, just like Apple stores look unlike any other retail store. I want them to think different about banking. I think that's what they're trying to do here. Or is it just a section of the Apple store? That's
who,
the bank,
who walks into a physical bank anymore?
You have to for certain things. Signatures required.
Apple will figure that out. And that's just your face. Your face.
It's they'll find. If you want cash, other than from a machine, you're going to have to go to a bank.
Okay, if you want to get cash from an Apple store. But
Yeah, without robbing it. Anyway, I just think it'd be interesting to see them. They're really leaning into this as part of their services, right?
I think it's a part of the whole killing of cash. Yeah, right?
I think they want to be a bank, but they're not able to. That's why they have a partner with Goldman Sachs. But I think they're eventually going to try to get there.
Maybe this is just all steps to financing your car and then your house with Apple.
So it makes sense. So you have an Apple car. That's the Apple car. It's not an actual car. It's the car you already drive. It's just going to be financed by Apple. Right? Yeah. There you go. I like that. So anyway, cool. I I'm very tempted to put more in there just because that rate.
Not that hard to do.
When I look at what's sitting in my savings account now, and it's like, that's not earning anything. Yep, sitting there. All right. This next story, I thought this was, to me at least, was one of the cooler things. I was going to make it my what I like this week, but I've got something else for that. Tim Cook recently went to India, and he opened a couple of stores there and all this, and he did some interviews. Well, there was this one interview people noticed the watch face on Tim Cook's Apple Watch, like a very good image of it. And people, of course, zoomed in, figured out exactly what it was, and they've recreated it. So he starts with the Infograph face that has up to 8 complications, the most of any Apple Watch face. He uses only half of the complications as informational. The other 4 are simply shortcuts to launching different apps. But the really amazing thing to me about this was I saw this article on my phone. We were sitting at a restaurant waiting for food or whatever. I'm just scrolling through, killing time here a little bit. And I caught this article and I clicked on it. And they have a link to download that watch face. Clicked on the link. I tapped allow, add to my faces, lifted my wrist, and I had Tim Cook's watch face within 2 seconds of reading the article. That kind of blew my mind. I forget how easy that is to do. That's
it makes me think whether or not all of these are propped. Like, does Tim Cook watch, like his handler have like 30 brand new watches on the ready.
he wouldn't be wearing a crappy
band or an old band around, right? It has to be like meticulous.
Well, it's the trail loop that he's wearing, which is the the black trail loop. On an Apple Watch.
An
is that an Ultra he's wearing? It's an Ultra. And let's look at what he's wearing. He's got stocks as one of the complications, temperature, workout, activity. It's funny. They say in the photo, it's about 11:30, and Cook doesn't appear to have reached the halfway point of his goals yet. I'm sure he counts on getting in a workout in the afternoon to close his ranks. He's got his schedule over the top. Blood oxygen, ECG, and then they actually say, like you said, I wonder if you switch some of these out ahead of the photo shoot. But how often do you really take your ECG?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Right? And then the bottom is the home app. Home. So, I don't know. I've got it on right now. And it's a pretty good face. Like you say, it's the most informational one there is. So that's nice to keep track of things.
What does it say on it?
You're right. Maybe maybe it is just a show thing. But
what's it say on his meeting? What does it say there? 2 p.m. something depart.
What, on the face itself? I don't see. He
needs to leave for the airport. There you go.
At time wise, the schedule. Yeah.
There it is.
Could be.
Oh.
Could be that.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Interesting. I'll put a link in the show notes. Somebody wants, if you want Tim Cook's Apple Watch face, still pretty cool, I think. If that's one he's actually using a lot. You're right. Do they just Photoshop in a different face?
Who knows? I think he's got 30 of them. That's my opinion. You know, and the whole like syncing with other devices was just made for him. He's like, dude, I need to sync 30 watches.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, what watch am I wearing today? Okay. What band? All right, here we go. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting to note he was one of the first people to ever wear an Apple Watch, right, on a regular basis.
And into the shower.
So he has been wearing it longer than we have. And yes, he does shower with it, which is how we knew it was waterproof. Even the original watch.
Yep. To some degree. It wasn't exactly waterproof.
Right. It was and it wasn't. Okay, last story here, I promise. We mentioned this last show that there was a, what's the name of this? The Steve Jobs Archive website started by his wife, Lauren Powell Jobs, and I think Johnny Ive had some work done in there too for designing it or whatever. And they've updated over time. We talked about this new book that they put together, an ebook. It's the first published work, only available as a downloadable ebook to the general public. And it's full of lots of things from Steve Jobs. It collates his speeches, correspondence, images, and more. Has an introduction by his wife, clips from various different interviews that he's made over the years. So it's a pretty unique thing. Most of this has been seen before, but there are some little nuggets, some new stuff in here. And I think it's a little more personal than previous stuff he's done that has been put out with by about him. Now, the title of it is called Make Something Original. Make Something Wonderful, which... It was a phrase he did in an internal Apple meeting. He said, one of the ways that I believe people express their appreciation for the rest of humanity is to make something wonderful and put it out there. So that's where the title of the book comes from. And it's called Steve in His Own Words is the subtitle. Very cool book. Well, now there's a hardback edition that has been given to Apple employees and Disney employees only. And this book is bigger and thicker than I thought. When you say ebook, I picture just, you know, very thin, not a lot going on, right? This is a big book. So it's an actual physical book that only Apple employees and Disney employees received. And I don't know if it's very clear, did Apple retail employees get it or is it just corporate? I don't know. However, if you go on eBay...
There it is. I was just going to say.
If you go on eBay, people are asking up to $2,000 for this book. Not getting it. That's what they're asking. If you click on completed items, and there's a number of them here. I think for $2,500, all this. But actual purchased price is anywhere from... 200 to $350, $400 is what these books are going for.
That's pretty decent, and, I guess.
Yeah. And I can give you a really hands-on review of this when I receive mine next week.
Wow.
Because I bought one on eBay.
You know, it's
couldn't resist.
It's a collector's item for sure.
It is. I could not resist. I'm so, I don't know, I just have no impulse control when it comes to something like this. I clicked on eBay. I saw one that was ending in less than an hour. And I'm like, oh, I got a bid on this. So I put in a pretty high amount, hoping that it wouldn't, that it would be enough. And if not, that's fine. I'll do another one. There's a bunch of them on here. And at the last, I didn't put the higher bid in until like 30 seconds before it ended.
Yeah.
And whoever was the high bidder, I saw it change twice. They tried to get it, and they still missed it. So I put in a number that was just right. I got lucky. Well, otherwise, it would have
You might have been going up against a bot. My wife used to use Auction Sniper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But bots usually win. How did it not win?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe there was a cap that they put in. But maybe. Auction Sniper will just like, go up to their maximum price.
But I actually got a notification today. It will be arriving. It is shipping today. So
very nice.
Sealed, unopened, in the box, done.
Yeah. So
I imagine a lot of employees got this and was like, I don't want this. I'm going to sell it on eBay.
Oh.
Cool.
Well, you might have an inside hookup now.
Maybe. I don't know who this person is, Everybody's got their handle on eBay. We don't know who they are. Becoming in a week or two. So
that's cool. I'm waiting for someone to convert this book to using AI and Steve Jobs' voice and have an audiobook. Yeah, that'd be.
I'm sure that's easy to do.
Super easy.
Way too easy to do right now.
Yeah.
And as soon as we do that, we'll do our whole show with our own voices in AI.
And with Steve.
With Steve as a guest. No, we can't do that. I'll just, heck, a guest. Just have him do the intro.
There you go.
No, we can't do that. We talked about that. You can't do that.
if it's under 30 seconds, is it okay?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I get away with a lot of things that way with copyright. Listeners of this show may know or may not know. Sometimes, every now and then, when the show ends, if you listen all the way to the end of that music, there'll be a little bonus something that I stick in there that's usually just something funny we mentioned or talked about or an outtake. And sometimes it includes, I'll say it, copyrighted material that is only played for a very short amount of time, but it's very relevant to what we were talking about. So technically, it could be considered a review.
It's your lanyap.
Yes, exactly. But no, I wouldn't do because I think they'd be all over this. There's too many high-powered lawyers involved for something like that. But
we shall see.
Anyway, all right. Well, let's we'll get to what we like here in just a second. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. You can become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. So check it out on our page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right. What we like this week. Vincent, why don't you... what do you like this week?
Mine's pretty simple, but this is one thing that I literally use the Apple Watch for like every hour, which is basically authenticating into my one login or whatever app that I use for work. And so anytime that we want to enter into an app or we open up a service, it will push a notification to our phones for us to authenticate that that's who we are. And having the watch come up, it is just the most amazing thing to just be able to just glance down, tap on it, authenticate that that's who you are. And it works for all the other apps, LastPass, Duo, Microsoft Authenticator, Google's, whatever. Right. That just having it on your wrist and having it available so that you can just, number one, be secure, but number two, be secured conveniently. And I think that part just, it doesn't get in your way when it comes to productivity, and that's really important to continuously have and promote.
So how does that actually work? Because when I do two factor, I got to get a text message or an email with a code to type in?
On some of them, it's text message.
Okay.
And that would be, but for the ones that are push,
okay,
it will come to you. Duo is one that does that.
Okay.
And Microsoft will do that as well when you've set that up to just do a push.
They should all do that.
Yeah, so you'd have to have a code. All you have to do is click on it, authenticate that that's you, and that you are trying to access this password vault, for instance, and boom, you're in. And so, yeah, it saves so much time and effort and not having to carry your phone or get it, your phone out of your back pocket. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like that. So that's Apple Watch two-factor.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be an option on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the code thing gets... Now, I have to say that they do make the code thing easier now when it pops up. You know, they make it easier if it stays up on the screen while you type it in, right?
Right.
Whoever did that was genius.
Yeah, they knew.
At Apple. They knew you don't want to go hunting for that and then lose your place and all. Anyway, it makes it much easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. What I like this week is... the new HomePod from Apple. I say new. It's not, well, I guess Apple still has the word new on it, on their website, so I guess it's still new. Oh. Anyway, I just set one of these up for my wife for Mother's Day, and it was amazingly fast and simple to do. Now, I have three of the first version, the large HomePod, and I have about three of the small ones, the minis, all over the house. And I was worried that this one might not sound as good, since it's been re-engineered from the original. And first of all, it seems a little bigger, almost like it's been working out a little bit, bulked up, right? Slightly from the first one. The touchscreen on the top looks similar to the old one, except now it's inset slightly, right? It's not flush with the top. It's down a little bit. And the animation fills the complete screen, which is nice.
That's cool.
It helps you to see it better. Right. And to see that it's actually working properly. There's also a new humidity and temperature sensor inside, which is great for getting the temperature and humidity in the room it's in. So that is awesome. When you ask for the temperature in the room, you know, you specify what room you want it to be in the home app. It'll tell you the temperature in that room, not just outside, which is great. Now, I think we mentioned that on the show before, that the HomePod minis have those sensors that they weren't turned on initially, and now they are with the new update and software. So now the only HomePod that doesn't have those sensors is the older original HomePods. The other big change is that they removed one of the six tweeters and also removed two of the microphones. That's why I was worried that it might not sound as good. No worries. It still sounds amazing. Mm. The other change is that the power cord is now removable from the HomePod at the back of it. The original one, you couldn't remove it, couldn't pull it out. Mm. So if you wanted to run that cable down and around stuff, it was a lot harder to do. They did not change the price. It's still $299, which is what the original HomePod was before they discontinued it. Now, I don't know why they discontinued it if this new version was in the works. Why not just release the new one as new and improved, right? Instead of releasing it like a new product. This is a very strange marketing move for Apple. It's one of the weirdest ones I've ever seen them do, because they've never really brought back a product like this. And one other thing is that if you want to make a stereo pair with this new one, it won't work with the old one. To make a stereo pair, you need to have two of the new ones or two of the old ones. They don't pair together.
Huh.
And I think that has to do with the Matter, which is, it's called Matter, right? The new technology of connecting. Anyway, so as an audio speaker for music or as a speaker for your Apple TV, it's awesome. As a smart speaker, it's still Siri, so not so smart. Mm. If sound quality is important to you, this is great. If you want a smart speaker, not so great. And there's a new color too. I got the white one, but there's also a midnight color is what they're calling it, which is, I think the other one was space gray ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is darker, a little darker in color, but, I'm very relieved to hear it still sounds incredible. which is wow. great.
That's so, good.
Yes, very, very good.
Well, so you're going to get another one soon.
You know what? Maybe. We'll see.
It's going to eat at you that it's not a pair.
Well, I had that problem. As I told you, I have three of the old ones. Yeah. I have a pair, right, hooked up to our main TV. Mm-hmm. But in my office, I only have the one. And I bought it when yeah. right before it was discontinued because I was afraid you yeah. could never get them again.
Yeah.
And now if I want to pair it, I got to buy an older one. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's old, mm. right? So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. Still sounds good.
It did. You do. I have the two in my living room, and it's mm-hmm. replaced my entire 5-speaker yeah. surround sound thing that's just collecting dust now.
Yep. It's yeah. unbelievable.
Yeah.
That you can get that kind of sound, you know, mm-hmm. with a TV that you can get these days that is so incredible mm-hmm. and such a big screen, and you get really great sound like this. Movie theaters are really only for special occasions anymore, I think, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Speaking of which, anything else before we put this episode into theater mode for the week? I actually use that mode. Last That's night, good. I went to see the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie at it's at a brand new theater near us.
Yep.
Really nice theater. They do so many things now to get you to come into that movie theater because, as I just mentioned, a lot of mm-hmm. competition just to stay home. When you buy your tickets online, you can also choose all of your snacks, right? Popcorn, drink, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they'll bring them to your seat. I did not know that was an option, but it's pretty wild. I didn't do it, but it's crazy what they're offering now. But I just think there's certain movies that are event type movies that still are kind of good in a theater. And I have to say, we went to the theater. I've never seen so many people in a theater in a long time.
It's back.
It's back.
It's been fun. Yeah. In terms of all the action movies, the great sound that you get from there, and then, you know, you get your reclining seat.
Yep. Oh, this one had a heater in it, too.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. Wow. And they sell blankets. When you walk in, you can buy a blanket, which I noticed the first time I ever went to that theater, not that long ago. It's brand new. They had Guardians of the Galaxy commemorative blankets for sale.
No kidding.
They had Guardians of the Galaxy, like, popcorn tins and all. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
And they're finding all different revenue streams here. Anyway, all right. Wow. Well, on that note, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support this show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. As I said, it's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out. Again, it's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.